Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. These words are Emily Dickinson's image of hope, a thing with feathers, light, delicate, beautiful, maybe even comforting. I've used them before. I love them. I wrote them on a little card and posted it on my wall and carefully put it into my notebook of quotes. I mean, it's Emily Dickinson. Until one day, when that thing happened that made these words seem inadequate, maybe even trite or frivolous. I mean, maybe this is not the quote to send to someone who just went to prison or who's going through a health crisis or when the world is on fire and the goblins keep showing up. Right. In the spring of 2022, Matthew at Crow's Fault is the social media handle. Is that what it's called? People speak of hope as if it's this delicate, he writes this, people speak of hope as if it's this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. It's not. Hope has dirt on her face, blood on her knuckles, the grit of the cobblestones in her hair, and just spat out a tooth as she rises for another go. Unitarian Universalist ministers John Burens and Rebecca Parker, in their book, A House for Hope, The Promise of Progressive Religion for the 21st Century, wrote this: hope rises. It rises from the heart of life, here and now, beating with joy and sorrow. Hope longs. It longs for good to be affirmed, for justice and love to prevail, for suffering to be alleviated, and for life to flourish in peace. Hope remembers. It remembers the dreams of those who have gone before and reaches for connection with them across the boundary of death. Hope acts. It acts to bless, to protest, and to repair. In seminary, in my preaching class, we were asked to write an essay on our theology of hope. Where does your hope come from? And the exact question was, in the face of pain and suffering that feels overwhelming, why ought we choose to live another day? So I invite you to ponder that for a moment, and then just hold on to those things that pop right into your head. What gives you hope? What keeps you going? And what are the sources of your hope? And now here in this sanctuary, I'd invite you to turn to one other person and share where you're finding hope these days. What are your sources of hope? If you are sitting with your spouse or partner, if you could choose someone else, because you'll go home, you can talk about this in the car on the way home with them, but if you can just choose someone else to share with, what are your sources of hope? And if you're online, is this available, Gabby? Okay, good. You can write it in the chat. Thank you for doing that. So find one other person, and I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'll ring the bell when the time is up. Thank you. So, would anyone care to shout out what you shared? And I'll repeat it for the Zoom mic. What? Children.
Relationships.
Relationships.
This too will pass.
This too will pass.
Community.
Community.
Nature.
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 Vultures. Vultures. I was thinking about that on the way to church this morning, actually. Vultures. Did you hear that on Zoom? I don't know if I repeated it, but what else?
Art.
Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't hear that. Art. Yeah.
Ann Richards.
Any music? Anything in the chat you want that can be shared?
Love.
Okay, stop for a minute. People showing up for their neighbors targeted by ICE, the UUCL community, children, sunrise, every day, right? Even if we can't see it. What else? Helpers.
Connection.
Okay, I missed one of those, but there's a connection about what? Compassion of people with disabilities and the disability community and
a sense
that the tide might be turning. Okay, thank you all. I'm going to encourage you to continue to think about this, to take it with you into this week. Rebecca Solnit reminds us that for comfortably situated people, hopelessness means cynicism and letting oneself off the hook. If everything is doomed, then nothing is required of us. Right? But everything is not doomed. All is not lost. And hope is not mindless optimism. There's a term that I came across when I was writing this sermon, and it's called hopium. And it's a blend of words, hope and opium. It's internet slang used to describe irrational or unwarranted optimism. It suggests that the person is using blind hope as a coping mechanism or a drug to numb themselves to a difficult reality, often in a derogatory, it's used often in a derogatory or mocking way. And there are those who say that hopium is the biggest obstacle to addressing the climate crisis, actually. That the researchers and advocates note that the concept of hopium can describe a type of emotion-focused coping that reduces the urgency to act on climate change, as it leads individuals to numb themselves with the belief that things will get better without their personal agency. So without us doing anything, things are just going to magically get better. Someone also started, just so you know that I know this, the Hopium Chronicles podcast, and that features in-depth discussions with leaders working to preserve American democracy. So I think hopium, you know, being sort of that false sense, we just have to remind ourselves that everything is not doomed, all is not lost, and hope is not mindless optimism. Maybe, 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 maybe. Uncertainty is the soil of hope. Optimism is the certainty that things will work out, and maybe even that it will work out a certain way. Maybe it's the not knowing how things will work out that becomes a source of hope. Uncertainty is what allows hope to grow. Optimism is an outlook that things will get better. The uncertainty of hope requires us. Hope is active, and it usually involves working with other people to make things better. Reverend David Eaton, a former pastor of All Souls DC, says that when we aren't experiencing hope, when we can't find hope, we come to church to find it. And if we don't find it here, then it's our job, our responsibility to create hope together. That's what we're about. And that's why people who show up to church are one of my sources of hope. And that's what Ravi and I just shared together. There are those among us who believe that there are forces in the world, in us, between us, among us, and perhaps beyond us, that want truth and justice and beauty. But those forces are not omnipotent. We make it happen. We have to work for it. Active hope is not about having big players on the stage giving us hope, but it's about small groups of people practicing acts of resistance and doing good work. Maybe like Herschel, it seems like we're acting alone, but there's a whole village rooting for us. When the goblins are at the door, choosing hope is an act of courage, and choosing action is also an act of courage. Hope is not a feeling we wait for, it's a choice we make together. So maybe another question to ask ourselves, in addition to what are our sources of hope and what's giving us hope these days, is what does it mean to choose hope? What does it mean? What allows us to choose to keep hope alive, to hold hope close? So I invite you to ponder that for yourself this month as we explore what choosing hope means. In early 2022, poet and writer Caitlin Seda offered a counter to Dickinson's poem with a poem of her own. Okay, I'm just going to say this. There's nothing wrong with hope being a thing of feathers that perches in the soul, right? I love that. Both and. More than one thing can be true at once. I just want to preface that. But this is a poem titled, "Hope is not a bird, Emily, it's a sewer rat." Hope is not the thing with feathers that comes home to roost when you need it most. Hope is an ugly thing with teeth and claws and patchy fur that seems seen some stuff. It's what thrives in the discards and survives in the ugliest parts of our world, able to find a way to go on when nothing else can even find a way in. It's the gritty, nasty little carrier of such diseases as optimism, persistence, perseverance, and joy, transmissible as it drags its tail across your path and bites you. Hope is not some delicate, beautiful bird, Emily. It's a lowly little sewer rat that snorts pesticides like they were lines of coke and still shows up on time to work the next day, looking no worse for the wear. Hope is not something we wait for. It's something we practice alone or with others. And here we practice it with each other. When the goblins return and when the world feels heavy, may we remember choosing hope is an act of courage. It is choosing faith over despair. It is action in the face of fear. And choosing hope restores joy in community. May we too light candles in the dark and choose to give each other hope when hope is hard to find.